asks the Lord to speak to you through his word. Ask Jesus for a great manifestation that through the teaching of his word, your life will be empowered to serve him faithfully. Pray that prayer now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, this morning, we ask that in the next 40 minutes, help us to conform to your divine will. Speak to us like never before. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody pray, amen. You may be seated in God's presence. We have over the weeks and months look at Pastor Ernest, is it Thanksgiving and celebration service? Huh? We have looked at the varied aspects of kingdom service. Servanthood. We have turned the leaf and turned the coin to understand what it means. Today, we want to ask ourselves a question: what are the things that can hinder me as a true servant in my kingdom service to God? Understanding the factors that can hinder the life of servant. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1-5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1-5. If you have it, you can read it. What kind of translation is this? This know also, go to the New King James. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Look at someone and say, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. So the Bible makes it clear that as we approach the end of the age, the end of the age, it's going to become increasingly difficult to remain servants of God. And I was preparing this message this dawn. The Lord opened my eyes to many things. Especially when Paul said, they have a form of godliness, but they have denied its power. So we are in a very deceptive age. Look at someone, we are in a very deceptive age. The word perilous times means strength reducing times. Strength reducing times. So, we are in a dispensation whereby if you are not very, very dedicated and you don't exercise diligence in your pursuit of God, you can be whipped away by the enemy. So this morning, what are the factors that can hinder and hamper my kingdom service as a servant of God? Hindrances to the life of the servant. Hindrances. Number one is societal influence. Societal influence. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 2, Moses is speaking by the mouth of God, thou shalt not follow, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil. The King James says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And he said, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to rest judgment. Bring back the New King James. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to perfect justice. Look at also, you shall not follow the crowd. That's societal influence. And what is societal influence? It is the temptation to belong. I have to belong. People look on the social media, and because of what they see, they have the proclivity that as a Christian, this is the life of unbelievers. I desire for it. But we are in two different worlds. Not everything we see on the social media is real. The Bible declares there is a way that seemeth right, but the end is disastrous. Number two, it is the temptation to do what the multitude is doing. The temptation to do what the multitude is doing. The temptation to do what everyone is doing. And go where others are going. It's societal influence. Not everything that everyone is doing is the will of God. Praise the living God. Number three, it is the fear of being labeled antisocial. Let them not say, I am antisocial. Let them not say, I am not normal. And this thing has made a lot of Christian women, Christian men, lose their faith in God. So we do not need to belong to the crowd to make sense on the earth. Praise the living God. Sometimes if we can focus on our kingdom service, focus on our kingdom assignment, then we need to stand alone to fulfill that divine agenda. Standing alone, because you know what God told you, and you know where God brought you, and you know where God brought you from. So you can follow Samuel. 200 young men followed Absalom into their death. Bad influence. It is better to walk alone than to walk with the wrong crowd. It doesn't matter what others feel about you, for as long as God feels right about you. People, I remember, is it 2018, a whole department left the church. A whole department. Bad influence. People are not able to serve because of bad influence. Haven't you heard? They will cook stories till you are out of God's will. We have to be careful. Amen. Number two. Comparison with others is a major hindrance to kingdom service. Major roadblock to the life of the servant of the living God. Comparison with others. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the numbers or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So here Paul is admonishing the church that comparison is not wisdom. Look at someone say, comparison is not wisdom. We see in 1 Kings 19, looking at verse 4, we saw how Elijah compared himself with those who went ahead of him. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. Look at Elijah. And said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Comparison. Paul said, comparison is not wisdom. Look at someone say, comparison is not wisdom. And God replied him. God replied him. When he said, I am the only prophet left. God told him, you are joking. Before you were born, I prepared prophets. And after you were born, I prepared prophets. And whilst you are serving me, I am raising other men. Many people like comparison. And because, especially in this millennial generation, comparison has become a major setback to effective kingdom service. A major setback. What is comparison? Number one, it is the using of others as the standard for personal commitment. The using of others. The using of others as the standard of personal commitment. Pray throughout, study throughout. Francis 20, I called the resident pastor. I said, I can't do school of ministry. I prepared for this. And God said, but you prepared all night for this. It's not that you pick one of your notes to come and teach. You prepared all night for this. Come and teach. There are people who say, oh, on Sunday morning, this man, who is this and that, does not come to church early. Why should I come to church early? Oh, you are wasting your time. But haven't you seen this leader? They use other Christians as the standard of their personal commitment, forgetting that accountability is owed to God and not to man. God watches all things. He watches all things. So you cannot use the commitment of others as a benchmark of your personal commitment. It is wrong. Praise the Lord. And it drags kingdom service into the mud. You cannot be effective as a kingdom servant when you are always comparing yourself to other people. Looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He looking at Jesus. So our example is who? Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. What is comparison? Comparison is the using. It is using the zeal and passion of others to justify personal zeal and passion. Using the zeal and passion of others to justify personal zeal and passion. Look at where this person is. See where I am. I'm not doing bad at all. We are doing terrible. Are we not in the same church? Look at this church in the neighborhood. They have been here for 25 years. They have only about 30 people. And we just came 10 years. My friend, don't worry yourself. We'll get there. It's a wrong notion. All palms can never be the same. Assignments are not the same. Praise the Lord. Number three, comparison is the decision to bring your commitment down to the level of others. You cannot be an effective kingdom servant. The decision to bring the level of your commitment down to the level of others. It hinders kingdom service. Nobody's praying, nobody's giving, nobody's doing this or that. So I'm also going to do the same. Look at somebody and say, we owe God our kingdom service. And he's watching. Is watching. It's a major obstacle to kingdom service. Major hindrance. You can't serve God properly if, number one, you are under societal pressure. Number two, you keep comparing yourself with other people. You can't serve God well. It's a roadblock to masterful kingdom service. Number three, earthly mindedness. Earthly mindedness. Where the mind of the believer, the servant, is centered on the earth, it is never possible to be a great servant in God's kingdom when your heart and your mind is focused on the earth. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Say, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the hand of God. Sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Seek those things which are... See, set your mind on things what? Above. Not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. That's the admonition to every servant of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all the things on the earth will follow you. Let your mind be settled above, not on the earth. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So my body must serve God. Praise the Lord. Let me interpret this scripture well for you. My body must perform these functionalities. Number one, living sacrifice. Say, living sacrifice. And that sacrifice must be holy. Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. So I am a personal offering to God in God's service. My body is an offering to God. Watch the scripture. Present yourself as a living epistle. Living sacrifice. And that sacrifice is holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. God looks at service that is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. God looks at that. And number two, we should not conform, but do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So kingdom service is acceptable, perfect will of God. And how do you serve? You serve with your body. You engage your body, your time, your talent, your resources, everything connected to you, you engage it to serve God. So don't level yourself down to the level of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is earthly mindedness? It also means, it refers to a heart or a mind that is choked with the affairs and the issues of the earth. A mind and a heart choked with the affairs and the issues of the earth. Once that happens, the heart becomes bankrupt of passion to serve. You can't serve well when your heart is choked with the issues and the affairs of the earth. Let's look at the sower that planted. Matthew 13, 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. So you can be choked by the issues of the world. Look at someone say, you can be choked. And when you are choked by the issues of the world, you become an unfruitful kingdom servant. So negate earthly mindedness. The Lord said to me, we must come to the point where we understand that the world is not our home. We are just passing through it. Our core assignment is, these people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. They will show forth my praise. Check it for me. Is it Isaiah 43:21? So everything we are, everything we have, is to prepare us unto our ultimate home. Number four, societal influence. These people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth. They shall declare my praise. They shall show forth my praise. That's the right scripture. So that's our assignment, to serve God. Our core assignment is to serve God. Societal influence. Number two is what? The first one is societal influence. Number two is what? What? Comparison to others. Number three is what? Earthly minded. Number four is ungodly company. Ungodly company. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Ungodly company. Be not deceived. Evil communication. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Be not be trapped. Be not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Can you imagine? Evil company corrupts good habit. It doesn't matter how good in habits you are, your company can corrupt it. Evil company corrupt good manners. It's very important. Evil company. Judges 16, we see the company of Delilah. And that was the end of Samson. It led to his death. Go to him, entice him, corrupt him, put pressure on him. And that was his end. The wise man in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. The wise man said, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise. But a companion of fools will be destroyed. The kind of person you call your friend can become the greatest damage and disaster in your life. The greatest. There's a movie we watched in early 2000, Ejiko, they did call Kumasi Yonko, if you have seen it. And it's about two friends. One, they were living in the same house, and one was married to Ejiko. And the Kumasi Yonko was the one advising the lady to leave Ejiko The lady heeded, hearkened, and left the husband. By the time she got back, the friend started cooking for Ejeko and remarried Ejeko. Came back and said, oh, Kumasi Yonko, that's Kuma. That's the whole idea of Kumasi Yonko. Your friends can determine your fire. Say your friends can determine your fire. Ungodly company, it doesn't matter how anointed you are. If you are in the wrong company, you'll be corrupted. You'll be raptured into disaster. Many believers today have been discouraged from serving God well because of the kind of voices that is constantly in their ears. Voices. Have you heard? Haven't you heard? Voices that dampens your zeal for kingdom service. Voices that dissolute your passion for God constantly. What is ungodly company all about? Number one, ungodly company produces ungodly influence that attacks kingdom service and commitment to God. Ungodly company produces ungodly influence that attacks kingdom service and commitment to God. Because your company determines the influence you are under. Your company determines what accompanies you. Praise the living God. Number two, ungodly company has the tendency to undermine zeal and passion for God. Ungodly company has the tendency to undermine zeal and passion for God. Please understand, there are those that Satan will use to speak to your life constantly to move you out of God's will. Number three, ungodly company has the tendency to mock your devotion and your service and dedication to God. Devotion. You pray too much. You go to church too much. You are too spiritual. Service. What you do in God's house through your talent, your resources, your time. They will mock you. It's called the voice of mockery. Ever since you started serving in this church, what? Tell me any tangible thing in your life. They will question your God with evil voice of mockery. They will just mock you on why you must not go to church again. One of the leaders I follow says, no company leaves you neutral. That's Dr. Paul Inerche. No company leaves you neutral. And for the purpose of this teaching, we want to establish the fifth point, and that is the life of compromise. The life of compromise. Commitment to God has reduced drastically in our season. People have lost the truest meaning of what kingdom service is about. In fact, I say with no apology, our young millennial generation is lost. We are lost. I was born into a generation where our passion is the God of the things, not the things of God. The God of the things. The God of the things. But in our generation, people are more after the things that comes with God, not the God of the things. And that's why we are lost. We were self-motivated to serve God. But our generation is an expectation-oriented. And the expectation is on God. Father, if I do this for me. So they are in a chess play with God. You can't serve God like that. God is not your friend, where you can put him under obligation. So people have missed God. Look at someone and say, may you not miss God. People have missed God, and they have missed the blessing of God because our hearts are not connected properly. Our hearts are not connected. Number five, the life of compromise. Every time you told a little lie, you participated in something you are not supposed to do. You watch something you are not supposed to watch. It has an effect on you. I know some pastors who are seriously into pornography. So the life of company, the life of compromise is a life of little errors and sins. Number one, iniquity attacks your love for God. Sin dampens your zeal. You cannot be in sin and be on fire for God at the same time. The life of compromise. Whenever you allow sin and guilt in your life, it reduces your love for God. Sin degenerates divine presence. And divine presence is the compelling force for kingdom service. Divine presence is that sterile. It stirs you up with the joy of the Lord. David said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So to have the strength to serve, you need an atmosphere of godliness around you. So sin is an attack on your love for prayer, the word, fellowship, dedication, commitment, and ultimately kingdom service. Number two, under the life of compromise, sin reduces spiritual authority and audacity. Sin reduces spiritual authority and audacity. Spiritual authority. Your spiritual boldness goes down. Proverbs 28 verse 1. The righteous are as bold as lions, but the wicked flee when no one pursues. So when your conscience is clear, your boldness is sure. Praise the Lord. And number three, sin brings distance between man and God. Sin brings distance between man and his God. Distance. Prof, please come beside. Between man and his God. Sin reduces the service of the servant. When you are in sin, you can't serve well. So sin is a compromise. Isaiah 59 verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear. So suddenly you would notice you are far from God. And if you are far from God, you will not have the desire to serve. Guilt will eat you up. Suddenly you notice you can't feel the presence of God. I was so tired this dawn. I did my diplomacy and international relations Zoom for 6 hours. 1:30 to 7:30. I had to study a bit and pray. I bed my hair around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, thereabout. Then I saw Tim Godfrey's new release, Dependable God. Have you listened to it? It's powerful. It's 15 minutes. He features someone. So I was tired, but I wanted to pray to set myself for this morning. Then I saw Tim Godfrey, the new release. Dependable, dependable God. Then I zoomed in the song and I put it close and I lowered it. The atmosphere kicked in. And I started speaking in tongues automatically. I started speaking in tongues. Suddenly I was alive. I couldn't sleep. So from yesterday till now, I've not closed my eyes. Powerful song. Divine presence. If God is not there, he's not there. Say he's not what? When God is there, the little effort, you create the atmosphere. The little effort. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse 1 to 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But what? But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So it reduces your commitment to God. Prayer fire reduced. Word fire reduced. Sin is one of the ultimate, is sin is the ultimate enemy of kingdom service. Look at us, the ultimate enemy. Yes. The ultimate enemy. When you are in sin, there is no way you will have desire to come to church. You can't come to church. Sin reduces service. Sin hampers service. Destroy service. And lastly, I close. The self-first mentality. When you are a servant of God and you have a self-first mentality, it will hamper your kingdom service. You cannot be a servant and be filled with self. Self is an enemy to kingdom service. Look at someone and say, self is an enemy to service. Self first mentality. God said, put me first. Put my work first. Put my agenda first. Put my kingdom first. And anything you desire for will come to pass. He said, if you put yourself first, you will miss me and you will miss yourself. So the self first mentality is the enemy of the God first lifestyle. The self first mentality is the enemy of God first lifestyle. God first lifestyle. God first lifestyle. And it is the God first lifestyle that guarantees our godly outcomes in life. God first. God first lifestyle. What is self first mentality? Number one, making one's self the most important consideration against God. Making oneself the most important consideration against God. Is very sad. Luke 9, verse 62. If you are in ministry, there is no second guesses. You can't try and work out. Look at this scripture. Luke 9:62. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow, you put your hand to kingdom service, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You are not faithful. You are not faithful. This thing has affliction, but you can't turn back. This thing has battles. You will lose your honor. I remember in 2016, I had crisis and I went to America, and more than 7 churches, more than 10, because when I'm in America, I preach almost every day. They canceled on me. I was brutalized emotionally. But I kept pressing. Before I went to America that time, we received notification that in 1 week we should move from Domgosala. That's how come Auntie Regina and Rachel got us this place. 1 week move from where you are having service. At the top, I had my office. At the down, I had administrative office. So far. You guys, as small boys, you don't know what I've been through. This thing has affliction. yourself, you can never do ministry. Look at what Paul said in Acts 20, verse 24. You can't do ministry. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Let me see. Bishop David Abioye said, when you see God using any man, when you see God blessing any man, don't look at the fruits. Look at the what? Fruits. When we came here, this place, the money, by the grace of God, we have pumped here, can build a 2,000-seater church. Huh? Stones alone we bought to fill this place. I have no idea. Go to America, I come back. Everything God give me, I put it in this house. We were plastering, we were laying the tiles. I think we will show some of the pictures. I still have them here. I come to church, I'll sit down and Langat and from them. They're outside. We had litigation, we moved the church to the restaurant at what do you call it? The place. For 1 month, we could not meet here. 1 month. We're meeting at the restaurant every Sunday, no weekday service. You can't turn back. If you look at yourself, you can't do ministry. And tonight I'll be teaching on that. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Let me close. Many can serve because they are self-oriented. They are what? Many can serve because they are self-oriented. I am head. God can use you. You will never be blessed. You won't go far. Paul said, we are in perilous times, and on many shall the love of God shall grow unforgiving, bitterness, fanche. That's why young men today, they lack anointing. No anointing. Tricks, fake things they do. Because they are too full of themselves. And when you are too full of yourself, the Spirit of God cannot live in you. Bring me the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 24. Look at what Paul said. And let this scripture help you. Look on your screens. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life to what? To myself. So that I may finish my race with what? The day you count your life to yourself, you can't do ministry. And the ministry which I have what? I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of grace, of the grace of God. If you are too moved easily, you can't do ministry. Too moved. If you cannot serve under a leader like me, then you can't serve anywhere. Because I've seen leaders who are very proud and arrogant. Extremely proud and arrogant. Pride is their food. The last scripture. You go into prayer. Last scripture. Luke 14:26. Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So, to fulfill divine agenda, to serve well, you have to hate your father. This is Jesus speaking. Hate your father, hate your mother. It's not literal hatred, though. You can exclude them. Your wife and your children, your brother and sister. You have no excuse. Jesus said you can't put your hand on the plow and return back. It's self-implicatory. And he says your own life. You cannot be a disciple of Christ. That's why I look at some people and I see that you are 20, 30, 40, 50 years far. Because your understanding is not there. Let anyone who comes to me pick his own word. Cross. Stand to your feet. May God deliver us from self. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands and say, make me a great servant in your service. Pray that prayer quickly. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Father, our hearts are open. We ask for grace and mercy. Help us to remain great servants in your service. In Jesus' name, amen.